You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at passioncitychurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio, and it's a continuation of a series entitled, Even Though.
The series is called, Even Though I Will. What I love about the series is that we're not trying to squeeze it into the text. We're actually letting the text squeeze it out into us. And simply what I mean by that is sometimes you come up with a clever idea and then you try to work hard to get the scripture to say what your clever idea is. And that's not bad if your idea is biblical, but it's better when the text just bleeds out its own words to you. And even the title of this series, Even Though I Will, is not a cool title we came up with. It is the text today. And the idea of the series has simply been this, that under pressure in hard times, in the most difficult of times, our faith can either deflate or inflate. Our faith either wilts under pressure, and in hard times, or our faith actually becomes what we say it is. It becomes a place to stand. It becomes something that we can anchor in. It becomes sure and strong to us that allows us to survive the hard time, to endure through the storm, to make it through the dark night, and to come out of the most difficult of places. And when I say that today, this message is going to be so personal, so powerful, and so specific for somebody today. In about 5 minutes, one of you is going to be sure that someone sent me an email about your life. And you're going to start suspecting your family and friends and going, who knows him? Who could get word to him? Who told him? How did this word get to him about where I am right now? No one even knows what I'm dealing with right now but me and God. So maybe God just told him. And he's looking in my direction right now. And he might, it looks like, just call me out any minute now and have me come down to the altar. I don't know who you are. But I guarantee you there's going to be a moment happen just like that. And you're going to sense that God has got you locked in his view. And he is going to offer you the greatest possibility that you have ever heard or can ever hear in your life today. He is going to offer to do something for you that you have somehow decided cannot be done in your life. He's going to work a miracle in your life. And for that to happen, you don't have to have the greatest faith in all the world. You do not have to have walked through the door today going, God's going to do something amazing today. God's going to do a miracle today. God's going to meet me today and blow my mind today. All you need is a grain of sand of faith today. Smaller than that, microscopic faith. A tiny seed of faith can move a mountain. And all you're going to need is that tiny capacity to just believe in what God is saying today. And you're going to find an even though I will miracle today in your life. The message today is simply this. Even though I have fallen, I will rise. I will rise. Now, if you've never fallen, you can just give a little nod right now. Oh, that's a good message. Preach that message. That's beautiful. If you think when I say I have fallen means that you lied when you were 7 years old about whether you stole the chewing gum from the grocery store or not, you're going to give me a little nod today and go, oh, that's a good message. Preach that message. But if you have gotten yourself in a predicament, a series, a pattern developed, habits developed, you started down a road that you thought you could manage, but the road ended up managing you. You thought there are things I'll never do. There are decisions I will never make. There are places I will never go. But yet, inch by inch, day by day, centimeter by centimeter, the landscape started to shift and change. Maybe so subtly that you didn't see it, someone else did. And they tried to say to you, hey, your landscape is changing. You said, I'm good. They said, hey, the circumstances here are starting to look troubling. And you said, I've got everything under control. I can manage it. I am still okay. But at the end of the day, you were not okay. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't need show of hands today anywhere through the talk. So we're not talking about I took a paper clip from the bank. We're talking about people that are down, way down deep in a chasm of disappointment. You disappointed you, you've disappointed everybody else. You have ended up in a river and you are going downstream at a fast rate. And I want you to know that God has got a message for you today, and it is this: by faith, even a tiny bit of faith in Jesus Christ today, you are going to rise. No matter how far or hard you have fallen, the message today is you are going to rise. You're like, well, you don't know my story, and I hate it when pastors do that. Anybody feeling that right now? I'm just preaching to the people that don't come to church all the time. Or maybe people who got here today because it's Mother's Day, and I promise I'm not trying to hijack your Mother's Day goodwill by coming to church to make your mom feel great today by preaching a message that's maybe targeted toward you. I just preaching the message. It was on the schedule today, even though it's not a Mother's Day message. So it didn't have anything to do with you, okay? But God had something to do with you. And maybe you've rolled in and you're like, one thing I don't like about preachers when they stand up and start talking about like they know what everybody's doing and how people are living. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't need to know your story, and you don't need to worry about whether or not you're going to qualify for this talk today. You don't need to spend time right now in your mind believing the enemy any longer. Because see, the enemy has a simple 1-2 punch plan. It's just, it's always been this way. And we all know it. It's just that we're all not as smart as we think we are. And his plan is simply this. Punch number one is you need it. Punch number two is you're an idiot. You need it. You're an idiot. You need it. You're an idiot. Anybody feeling that? I mean, punch number one is it's going to feel good. It's going to be amazing. You deserve it. You should have it. You should try it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to fill something in you that nothing else has filled up. It's going to do something for you nothing else has done. This is what you should do. No one's going to find out. It's just one time. It's just a little step. You should try it. You should do it. You should go for it. This is what you deserve. You need it. You earned it. You deserve it. Hey, everything else has fallen apart. Why not just try this? This is step number one. That's the right hand. But the left hook is, after you try it, is, man, you're an idiot. Man, you're an idiot. Boy, what kind of idiot are you? What kind of Christian are you? You're a Christian? Hello? You're the dumbest Christian I've ever met before. How could you even think about doing something like that? What a miserable, colossal, utter failure are you? Now we're going to go to church and sing all the songs. This is so amazing. Don't even get your hopes up. Don't even think about it. God is done with you. You don't have a chance. You will never get back up. You are like the commercial we all had burned into our psyche for a decade of watching senior citizens helplessly fall in their homes. And then they said, I have fallen and I can't get up. So we don't really interested in what happened. We're just trying to sell you a little button you can push. And people bought them. People still buying them. We bought one. We bought one. It's real, people. But the worst part of it is when we make a colossal decision with huge consequences, and then the enemy who got us in there with some little dazzling thing coming by that we got so focused on how dazzling it was that we missed the fact that it had a giant hook in it. And then his left hook that just takes you out is, you can't get up. Not you. So you're going to live life just managing the failure, but you will never get up. And God is saying to you today, even though I have fallen, say it with me, I will rise. Sounds good, great. Sounds better when you read it right out of the text. Found in the Minor Prophet of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8, talking about the nation of Israel. So to give you some context today, this Old Testament prophet is speaking like all the Old Testament of the people of God. See, God had a people that he was trying to show his faithfulness to. Why? So he could show us how he leads people through life. And the rhythm of their life was like the rhythm of your life. God would bless them. Even in their foolishness, he would forgive them and raise them up. They would return to him with shouts of praise, and then they would get distracted and do something dumb again, and then they would fall into pits and problems again, and God would have mercy on them, and he would raise them up, and they would praise him, and then this cycle just went on and on and on through time. And these prophets would come along to challenge the people, but they would also come along to offer the people promise and hope because God had a plan. And can we just grab onto that today? God's working a plan today. So in the middle of our failures and in the middle of how far down we've fallen, God is not absent in the equation, but he's working a plan today. And you're in his plan today. You were even in his plan when Micah was speaking these words for him hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. And this is what it says in verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Exclamation point, punctuation is important. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. This is the left hook. This is Satan standing over you today, barreling down on you with condemnation, accusation, trying to identify you by your failure. That's who you are. That's who you will always be from this point on. That is your psyche and your persona and your history and your identity. Failure. That's who you're going to be. And look at you and look how far you've fallen and look what a mess you've made and look how tragic all the consequences around you are. And you're not going to get up. And Micah comes right in with some defiant faith, even in a difficult moment. And he says, here's what we're going to be able to say today. Don't gloat over me, my enemy. Exclamation point. And here's why. Though, and we added the even though, it could some text say even though I have fallen, say it with me, I will rise. Can we just try a little defiance? I know it takes a little gusto, but though I have fallen, can you say it with me? I will rise. I will rise. There's no qualification here on when you fell, how you fell, the circumstances of you falling, the collateral, the fallout. Even though I have fallen, I will rise. And then he amplifies to just give it all the grit it needs today. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. And this has been the story from the very beginning. I was thinking about this message and thinking about all the people that this word was going to come to today and all the crazy circumstances and really just thinking about the tragedy that every possible scenario that you can think about is represented in this gathering today. Every possible scenario that you could imagine in humanity is represented in this gathering right now. And somebody has got to be thinking, because the enemy's left hook is too far, bro. Not this time, ma'am. Never again for you. And somehow you've taken that on and you've onboarded that reality. And I just want to blow that up with you today and say this. It doesn't matter what you've done or how far you have fallen today. You're not excluded from this promise. And the reason I know that is because this is our story. Our story. And I went back to double check because I was pretty sure that between chapter 2 and chapter 3 in Genesis, and we all know chapter 3 of Genesis is a train wreck. It's just an absolute, you know, it's the worst case scenario of God doing the very best for people and then people doing the very worst with the opportunity and the choices that they had. And in this text, between chapter 2 and chapter 3, since it's not in the, I don't know if it even was in the text that we would put on CG normally, I just took a picture of it out of my Bible. And in between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, the header says, the fall of man. You want to be a little more broad today? We can. And just say, the fall of mankind. So our story begins with a beautiful God and quickly is announced to the next scene in our story is the fall of humanity. And I take you back to chapter 3 today so that you can eradicate the struggle of wondering if you've done too much to be the exception to the rule. Because you didn't walk with God in the cool of the day. You didn't wake up the very first time you woke up with Almighty God breathing his life into your nostrils. And you didn't have a perfect life with a perfect wife in paradise where you were naked and not ashamed. The two great prizes of life. Amen? Some of you know what that means, and others of you are not sure yet. Most people get we were naked and ashamed. That's pretty prevalent in the culture. But this is paradise. And even in paradise, Adam and Eve blew it. They fell hard. They fell so hard that the consequences of the choice that they made have resulted in the cancer that is in your family today, that has resulted in the divorce that your parents went through, that has resulted in the racial hatred that fills the world today, that results in a seemingly innocent person getting stabbed on a Paris street last night. All of that is the collateral of their decision. And if it weren't their decision, it could have been my decision. All of that is the collateral of fallen humanity. So when we say, even though I've fallen, I will rise, and you're saying, I don't know if that can happen to me. Oh, it can happen to you, all right, because all of humanity has fallen. But hello, we are all standing today to celebrate and worship a God who has brought us back to life again, who has given us the gift of grace and forgiveness today, who's put life into us today. So it is possible that humanity can rise even after something as colossal as the fall. And it's possible that you can rise today even after something as tragic as how you have lived and where you find yourself today. This is our story. It was the story in the garden, and it's our story today. And when we come back to Micah, we see how it all plays out. So how can I rise today? I'm interested in this. I'd like to know if I can make it back to the land of the living again. I would like to know if those three words can be a definer of my life. I will rise. How is this possible for me? A few things. Number one, it's possible when you understand that the decisions you made are not just about you and the consequences you're trying to manage today. If you're taking notes, that was a big, long thing to write down. If you're taking notes, maybe say it this way. When you realize that you sinned against God. See, what we do in life is when we fall, we manage. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We start managing things. We start calling people real quick. We start creating stories real fast. We're trying to mitigate things and manage situations and outcomes. Our thinking is, who do I need to apologize to? How long do I need to apologize so that we can then move on? Who do I need to talk to, and how long do I need to talk to them so that we can move ahead? What do I need to fix, and how much is it going to cost me so that then we can move on? Are we all good? Are you good? Are you good? Are you good? Am I good? Are we all good now? Can we all move on now? This is the way we typically view the decisions that we make. And yes, there's consequences on a human level to all of our decisions, starting with us and the people who love us, the people around us, people who might not even know us. But the major consequence of every foolish decision we've made is that we have offended the God who made us and gave us the ability to know Him and follow Him in life. And rarely do you meet with somebody when they've fallen and they say, man, I've really messed up this time. I've really jacked all this up this time. And I've broken God's heart and I'm so sad about it. Rarely, like one in 10 million times do you hear that. What you hear is, I don't know, I got to fix this. I got to get her back. I got to get him back. I've got to get them back. I've got to save this and hang on to that. And how do we do this? And can you help me? And I don't know if there's even a chance for me. But you rarely hear, wow, I have somehow offended my God, my creator, my maker, the one who gave me life and breath in the first place. And what Micah is saying is, until we get that, we can't move free. We can't rise up into what God wants to do in our lives. Look how he unpacks this in the next verse. Because I have sinned against him. Because I've sinned against him. Yes, that meant that there was fallout, but the sin was against my God. Therefore, second thing you've got to understand, you got to own it. I will bear the Lord's wrath. Now, until we get there, and I know this isn't like uber popular teaching. I'm thinking that title is probably not going to sell a lot of books. I'm not going to see that one at the airport, even on the little inspirational rack. I've sinned against God and I bear his wrath. 75 Devotions for Hope, Louis Giglio. But God is a lover of people. You'll never meet anyone who will extend more grace to you than he. You'll never meet someone more patient than him, and you'll never meet someone who will more readily leave the 99 and come for the one. But you cannot diminish the fact that he's righteous. And in his righteousness, there is judgment. We all want it when it's somebody else, but we've all got to own it when it's us. Because I have sinned against the Lord, I will bear the Lord's wrath. In other words, those choices didn't just mess up the situation. Those choices put me in opposition to a holy God. And I've got to own that. If I could just be clear for just one moment, because I have to give an account to God for this role that I'm in today. If you don't get that little idea, you can't be saved. And if you can't be saved, then you can't experience all of what God has promised you. So you have to ask God to help you get that idea. See, becoming a Christian, becoming born again, becoming saved, becoming heaven-bound, all of the things that we talk about are predicated on an idea that God is holy and we are not, and that he's not looking to punish people and put them out of their misery. That's not his game. He's looking to forgive them in his patience to give them grace and mercy. But if they don't want that, then they, by the natural corollary of that, get the righteousness and the holiness of God poured out on them in wrath. Not because he's an angry, mean God, because he's a righteous, holy God. And if you don't understand that, then you don't need a savior. Jesus is just another nice guy. You don't really need to get on your knees and repent of your sin. You don't need to confess. You don't need a change of heart. You don't need any of that. And all this is just like another add-on to the Boy Scout banner. I got another badge on here. Of course, I love Jesus. But life comes when we own our choices and what we get. And Micah got that. He's offering us this phenomenal hope, but then he says, you got to understand how this rolls out. Because I've sinned against him, number one thing. I will bear the Lord's wrath, number two thing. You got to own that. But then this next word is the killer word in this text. Until he, the Lord, pleads my case and establishes my right. He will bring me into the light. I will see his righteousness. So if I could just give a mental picture, it looks something like this. In the day of Micah and in your day today, you're down in a hole. Could be, honestly, decisions others have made and you're down and have fallen, or it could be your choice and you have fallen and taken a lot of people down with you. And over here is a legal system going on and something's going to be adjudicated over here. And you have a shot, maybe not a big shot, but a shot over here. But there's a stack of cases and 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 a stack of cases. And 50,000 miles down that way, the cases are still stacked up. And somewhere in there is your case. Anybody in that boat right now, by the way, in the legal system, the arbitration system, and you're waiting and somehow, and they haven't gotten to your case yet, they haven't gotten to your hearing yet, they haven't gotten to your arbitration yet, to your mediation yet, the result hasn't come, and you're in that waiting game until my case gets heard, until somebody can stand in the gap for me and mediate for me. And that's what he's saying. I've sinned against the Lord, and right now, all I got is wrath coming, but there's this little seed of faith in me based on what I've understood about the story of God since Genesis 3, when God made skins from animals and covered the shame of Adam and Eve. That was a little beginning and twinkling of a story that was gonna unfold, namely the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And I've got a little belief in that. So even though I've fallen, and even though I've only got wrath coming right now, somewhere in there, my case is waiting to be heard. And I'm just counting on that moment. And here's the most amazing thing to me today. Praise God for it. Micah was waiting for what we have already seen and understood. He was hoping for what we have already witnessed and tell about. He was just foretelling a promise, people, that we actually are living 2,000 plus years after the fulfillment of that promise. So we're not waiting for our case to be heard. We're looking back celebrating that our case was heard. We're not waiting for God to make a decision about whether we can rise again or not. We are standing in the reality that God has made a decision about whether we can rise again or not, and we are standing in the fullness of that today. That's what Paul was writing in Ephesians chapter 2. He just spells it out as clearly as he can. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work, and those who are disobedient. All of us, come on, let's try to say that together. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. That's how we got in the predicament. And here is the result. After we did that, like the rest, we were by nature, or by the result of that, objects of wrath. But the story doesn't end there. So many people want to conclude the story and say, now we're going to have an invitation and the buses will wait. We are now all objects of wrath. Hell, fire, and brimstone. That's our message for the world. But that's not the whole story. Yes, that was our reality, but then there's a phenomenal and amazing conjunction in the story. The until in Micah 7 is connected to the but in Ephesians chapter 2. The until in Micah 7, until the Lord pleads my case, is connected to the conjunction, B-U-T, that we get in Ephesians chapter 2, because we have the whole story now unfolded. So we were all by nature objects of wrath, but that's not where the story ends. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God did what? Raised us up. Even though I have fallen, I will rise. How am I going to rise? Because someone's going to intervene. And through their intervention, no matter how far I fall in life and how many times I fall in life, there is a possibility for me to be lifted up out of whatever I have fallen into by the work and the person of Jesus Christ. And this is our story. It's the message of the church, people. And I don't know what you have heard, but this is our message. God takes broken people who have fallen and he raises them up to everlasting life. You know, all of our churches these days, it seems like, unless you got $1 jillion, most people are building churches out of Walmarts and Home Depots and things like that. And if they've got a whole lot of money and they start over, they kind of make it look like a churchified Walmart or a Home Depot. And anybody asking here, what happened to all the old churches, you know, like the ones with the crosses on the steeple and the stained glass windows and all that, and the aisles and the red carpet and the steps up to the front and all that. It's like, what happened to all those churches? Well, they're condos and restaurants, and some of them are still ticking along, but I miss them. I miss them. The church I grew up in had these amazing stained glass windows in it. Did yours? I'm thinking somebody needs to build a super cool, hip, and happening church with phenomenal stained glass in it. Because stained glass doesn't just evoke a memory, it actually tells the story. whatever it is, whatever it depicts, like here's a beautiful image of that. It tells the story. And that's the beauty of today. I think we got to get a stained glass gospel today. Because what is a stained glass gospel? It's that God takes stained glass. Could I underscore the word stained? And he pieces it together. And he makes something that reflects a story of grace and beauty. This is our message. This is who we are. This is what is on the table today. But to get there, we've got to understand that we sinned against God. Well, I got to deal with some people, Louis. Yes, you do. And the best chance you've got at doing that is to embrace your relationship with God. You've got to own it, like completely own it, not offload it to, well, it's because of my parents or because of the way I was brought up or because of this genetic thing or that or the other or something else. You got to own it. But then you've got to embrace the fact that someone pleaded your cause. He says, until he pleads my case and establishes my right, he will bring me out into the light and I will see his righteousness. I've seen this text a lot in life, but when you get ready to preach a message, you read the whole text, you read the whole book, you read chapter 1 to the end of chapter 7. You step back, you look at it again, you get high, you look at it again, you read it all so that you can squeeze back down into your text and really know what you're doing. And as I was reading it all, I got completely blindsided by verse 19, which I'm sure I've read somewhere along the way, but I couldn't have recalled it. But man, I will never forget it. This is how it happened. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot. That's why we're saying, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Because yes, you seduced me and now you're condemning me and it wasn't your fault, it was my fault, but you did a really great job of teeing me up for a long time so that you could squash me and stand over me and condemn me and accuse me and try to identify me as a failure, that's all I'm ever gonna be. But I got news for you. Don't gloat over me too fast, because you're gonna get treaded underfoot. Don't gloat over me too fast, because you're not gonna be the last man standing. Don't gloat over me too fast, because I'm gonna get connected to a resurrection story and you're not gonna be in that story. Don't gloat over me too soon. That's defiant faith. That's not me trying to shift blame. That's just saying, oh, by the way, I'm gonna deal with my stuff, but you got stuff coming too, bro. And here's how, because you're gonna tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So you've got to realize your sin was against God. You've got to own it and know that wrath is the right response. And that even though there's going to be grace in your story today, there's still going to be a storm. But God's going to walk through that storm with you. You've got to embrace your advocate today and agree with the finished work of Jesus that he has pleaded your case and established your right. He hurled your iniquities into the depth of the sea. When I read verse 19, immediately my mind went to the Mariana Trench. I went and Googled it because I was a little needed to brush up on the fact. The Mariana Trench, most of you know, east of the Philippine island nation in the Pacific Ocean, it's the deepest place on earth. 36,000 feet deep. 36,000 feet deep is this trench in the ocean. The only thing that lives down there is some like exoskeleton, you know, low-end microorganism, but it's down there. And the deepest part of the Mariana Trench is called Challenger Deep. And I just immediately had that picture. Christ has hurled your iniquity into the depths of the sea. If you want a reference point for Challenger Deep, if you were to take Mount Everest and move it off of the surface of Earth and put it down in Challenger Deep, the top of Mount Everest would still be a mile underwater. What a picture. What a picture. Yes, as far as the east is from the west. And I love that because you can't measure that. I always love to say that when the enemy comes with guilt and shame, tell him to go measure the distance from east to west and get back to you. But I also love this picture, verse 19. He hurled them down into the depths of the sea, down into Challenger Deep, so far down that you could put a Mount Everest down there and there's still a mile to go down below that. And how did he do it? He didn't do it by throwing them overboard. He did it by going down there with them. Day one, they nailed him on a tree at 9 o'clock, Friday. He died at 3 p.m. on a cross, bearing all the wrath, the guilt, and the shame. He pleaded your case. He said, God, this is for Jeremy. I stand in his place. I take all of his sin. I take all the decisions, all the guilt. I take the reproach. I take the shame. I take the blows. I take the punishment. I take the wrath. I'll die the death. Father, this one's for Jeremy. And Amanda, I'm pleading her case today, God. Pleading her case today. This is for Javier. God, I plead his case, Father. I plead all of his wrong, his foolish decisions, all the distance he ran, all the pain that he caused. I plead his case today, God. I stand here for Emily today, God. I drink of the cup, her cup. And that's where he pleaded your case. Day one, it's a 3-day story. They had to hustle to get him off the cross. That's why they had to borrow a tomb. They barely got his body wrapped when they put it in the tomb because day one ended when the sun went down and no one could work on the Sabbath. So you got to flip your mind upside down to understand the death and life of Jesus. Days didn't start in the morning. Days started when the sun went down. It's a 3-day story. So day two started on Friday, sundown. And the scripture says Jesus went down into the Mariana Trench, down into Challenger Deep, down into Hades, it says, carrying all your stuff with him. All the way down to Hades he went. Saturday. But day two ended on Saturday at sundown. So Jesus didn't rise from the dead when those women showed up at the tomb. You understand that he didn't rise right at the peak of the Easter sunrise service. Because he lives. Yeah! No. I'm pretty sure he didn't wait 1 second past sundown. The Father, to say it's time for three words to become true. Words that have been spoken and prophesied since the day of Micah. Though I have fallen for you into Hades, down deep into the darkest places of the earth. It's time now, even though Jesus says, I have fallen, I will rise. And it's sundown at the garden tomb. Jesus Christ came up out of the grave again, alive, having triumphed and trodden on guilt, sin, shame, death, and all of hell itself. And he's saying to you today, come with me. I can lift you up out of your challenger deep. And you will walk again. You will stand on your feet. You will walk with me. You will move forward into the future. You are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You will live and not die and declare what the Lord has done. You will be a light. You will be used. You will be in my story. You're going to lead other people to me. You're going to be a story of redemption, just like every other person on the face of the earth who puts their hope in me. And Micah says, it can happen to you today. Even though I have fallen, I will rise. And even though I sit in darkness right now, the Lord will be my light. It's going to be my light right here. So I know I sinned against God. I owned it. But I embraced my advocate in the finished work of the cross. And then I stepped into the light. And God's inviting you to do that today.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.